This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Another beautiful spring morning, kind of chilly. I took Teddy the puppy out for a walk early this morning before I left. And it was a little bit chilly. The wind's not blowing, so it's not as bad. 50 degrees right now, going up today eventually to 74, then 76 tomorrow, 80 Thursday, 81 Friday. But then comes, and dry. But then comes Saturday, maybe some severe weather. Peyton Malone's not sure on the timing of that. But then Sunday looks just sparkling for the parades that are scheduled. And Metairie got Argus following. The trucks are leading the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Or I forgot exactly what the order is, but Sunday, right. As I said, the weather's going to be nice Sunday, but I forgot the order. Either way, get out on Metairie Road and you'll have a lot of parade going on. And the weather's nice all the way into early next week. Things were not so nice yesterday on Wall Street. Mark Hamrick joins us now, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst. How you doing, Mark?
Doing well, sir. Good morning. Thank you.
I can imagine, Mark, that there are people that are saying, there you go, President Trump tanking the economy with tariffs, just like I said he was going to do. And there are those that are saying, no, President Trump's playing the long game for the country. And although there's going to be some pain, as he said, there's going to be the good result for the country at the end. And then there are also those that are saying, hey, it's a market. It goes up, it goes down. These are buying opportunities. I just said a lot. Mark, you're the Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst. Jump in where you feel comfortable.
Well, I'd probably split in somewhere in the center of all those things. Mm-hmm. Listen,
To be fair, they were the extremes that I was saying.
That's yeah. Well, it is fair to be extreme, I suppose. Let's just take a look at what's going on with the economy, and people are going to say what they're going to say about, you know, whether they're on team blue or team red or another team jersey. We're dealing with a high degree of uncertainty right now, as well as the apparent certainty that tariffs may be here to stay. And we know the impacts of tariffs. They are a tax that has to be paid by the importing company. They decide how much or whether to eat all of that added cost and to pass along, if they are so predisposed, some of that to their consumers. That is what a tariff is. They can have a variety of impacts. They can raise prices. They can slow growth. And then we're in a trade war. So, you know, we've heard the stories about, for example, American bourbon being pulled off the shelves of Canadian stores. We've seen the retaliation where electricity prices coming from Canada are being raised. And we know that we'll be paying more for Canadian energy in the form of gasoline and other petroleum products. Those are the realities. People will ascribe negative or positive characteristics to the political leadership, no matter who's in office. That's not really my job. Mm-hmm. My job is to try to monitor the economic and financial impacts. And we know that the number one economic issue that was identified by Americans in the presidential campaign was inflation. This is not going to help inflation. It may well inflame inflation, and we may well see a slowdown in growth. And so that those are the things that we're looking at, and obviously we're seeing significant declines in the stock market.
So when it comes to the long game here, somebody talked about repaying national debt. I understood yesterday somebody told me that an expert, an economist at the Cato Institute, that the largest expense the country has is on, I think it's $36.5 trillion of national debt that we have that supersedes Social Security and the other entitlement programs. Social Security is considered an entitlement program. Those of you that are getting ready to text in, because most people draw far more out than they put in, I'm just saying. But let me fix that also, Mark, before I get text, because if you had been allowed to invest your money without having it go into Social Security, then maybe that wouldn't happen. But that's not the case. Anyway, let's keep moving. With that being said, what is this going to do? I guess all I want people to be aware of is, okay, if you want to have some economic pain, that's fine if you are accomplishing something. But if we continue to increase the debt and there is economic pain, then are we really accomplishing anything? Is that too much of a question?
Well, no. I'll just come straight at the last part, and that is the math doesn't add up.
Okay.
So we know that, you know, we had a commercial earlier talking about the continuation of the Trump tax cuts. Mm-hmm. The bill that they're looking at would add $4 trillion to the debt. $4 trillion. You know, you're not going to do that by nickel and diming the National Forest Service. I mean, that's just a reality. In terms of Social Security, you're right, we have an aging population, but the system has always been one, essentially, where younger cohorts, younger Americans who are in the workforce, are essentially funding the program so that, you know, the people who are beginning to draw their benefits can be paid what essentially they were promised, and also, by the way, what they paid into the program. And so you're right, things like the national debt, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, as well as national defense, those are all the largest components of essentially what the current expenditures are. And the debt is the interest that has to be paid on the debt right now. And we've had for years now, members of both parties, neither party is wholly on this, have been adding to the debt by, you know, spending money without imposing taxes. That's just been fiscal, the opposite of fiscal responsibility. And we live in this world where, you know, two people fire a gun and at the same time, and one accuses the other of firing the first shot, where actually both are guilty. But, you know, because we live in this world where people decide their own alternative realities and facts, they don't observe the fact that, yes, both parties have contributed to the problem that we have right now.
And as you say, team red or blue, to be clear, I'm on team green. I'm just looking out for my best economic interest here. And I think, you know, everybody has to, in a way, because ultimately you have to try to take care of your family. Somebody texted in that he's legitimately Trump trying to reduce the trillions of debt. Well, not really. That's why I wanted to bring up that this adds $4 trillion to the debt, so you can spin it however you want. But you got to look at the bottom line on all of this and whether or not we're decreasing the debt. Now, I'm sure politically one party spins it one way. Well, yeah, we're doing this for that. The other party spins it the other way. But ultimately, you have to look at the bottom line and see what's actually happening behind all the misdirection. We'll pick it up here. We come back. Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Industry Economic Analyst. Right now, 622 Traffic, WWL. 627, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Mark Hamrick, our guest, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst. He was originally going to come on and talk about the economy, adding 151,000 jobs last month, unemployment rate rising to 4.1%. But after what happened on Wall Street yesterday, I kind of called an audible. What did you want to say about the jobs that were added and the unemployment rate, Mark?
Feels like old news. Not in the sense that it was Friday, but in the sense, Tommy, that these surveys are conducted around the 12th of the previous month. Mm-hmm. And we know, for example, from Challenger Gray and Christmas, the Chicago-based outplacement firm that tracks these things, that we had the largest number of job cut announcements last month since the early days of the pandemic, and that 62,000 of those as of February were in the federal government. So in the jobs report that we got on Friday, we saw the decline of 10,000 federal jobs. So that wave has yet to hit the shore, so to speak, in the measurement of it. And I think that we'll probably see a rising unemployment rate in the coming months, probably see slowing hiring, and that's why people believe that recession risks are rising. Doesn't mean we're nearing a recession at the moment, but the risks are clearly rising.
All right, so along those lines, somebody texted me years and years ago and said, Tommy, why does President Obama say so much and pause so much? And I said, well, because at that time I told him, because, you know, what a president says, his words matter, and presidents generally parse their words very carefully. President Trump has been known to be a free speaker. And the reason I bring this up, Mark, is that I'm not trying to criticize him, but he did say he wouldn't rule out a recession. And I just wonder what kind of words, what kind of weight those words carry. Because, again, President Trump has been known to say a lot of stuff. But when he said he wouldn't rule out a recession, did this seem to get the attention?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Of traders on Wall Street, what part did any of that play in this, in your opinion?
That's a difficult one to parse, right? Because if we were having a conversation before this or a year ago, I would say that we should always anticipate the risk of a recession at some point, because that is an inherent part of the economic cycle. Either we go through expansions or contractions / recessions. We go through bull markets, bear markets. We hope that the negative consequences are outweighed by the positive ones. I think perhaps what bothered people here is, in the past, Trump was seen as being hypersensitive to the performance of the stock market. I don't ever recall a president who would have appeared agnostic to the notion of a recession or an economic downturn, but between his speech to the joint session of Congress and what I understand that he said in the interview is he's almost saying, you know, it's inevitable and there's not much that can be done about it. And I think that probably caught people off guard.
What do you think happens today and next couple of weeks in the market? Just out of curiosity, I'm wondering.
Tommy, I've done this long enough to know that I should not be making short-term predictions about the market, but I can say the stock futures are pointing toward a positive open in the early going this morning.
So not heading toward a bear market at all?
Well, I wouldn't. I just do not predict those kinds of things.
All right.
I don't go down that road.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Mark Hamrick, BankRate Senior Economic Analyst. We'll talk to Jacques Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Emergency Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, GOSEP, when we come back. Time now, WWL First News. 6:44, 16 till 7. Man, I forgot to mention the St. Patrick's Parade in the Irish Channel on Saturday. And that's really dumb because I marched in that parade for like 15 years, although, to be honest, I don't remember a lot of it because there was some drinking going on. Anyway, so let's hope that can get in with the weather that's coming through. It's supposed to be nice until Saturday, and then Peyton said it all depends on the timing, so we'll have to see. Let's hope everything gets in. Meanwhile, beautiful spring day today. Jacques Thibodeau joins us now. Colonel Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, or GOSEP. How you doing, Colonel?
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
I'm all right. So let's talk about this homeless shelter, because I took a note here from something I saw last week, and maybe I wrote it down incorrectly, because sometimes I can't read my own handwriting. You ever had that happen to you?
It happens quite a bit. Older we get, it seems to happen more.
Makes me think I should have been a doctor. The handwriting goes bad, and the eyes go bad, too. So it's like, anyway, did I see that the homeless shelter cost $19 million that housed 180 people for 2 months? And if I did the math on that, it comes out to like $105,000 per person. It seems like you could have bought them a house for that. Am I missing something or what?
Well, the first thing of it is it's called a transition center. And what's different is there's a difference between sheltering and housing. This was to provide a stable environment while we were in the Super Bowl and Mardi Gras aspect of it. Yeah. And it comes in the form of state dollars. But the good news is that we're also applying for federal reimbursement, and all of our conversations with the federal government look favorable that they will reimburse us for those costs.
But for the average person like me, because I consider myself average, Colonel, $105,000 a person, that seems like a lot, no?
Well, it comes down to what the strategy was. What we wanted to do is we wanted to have a dialogue about a long-term strategy in the city of New Orleans for homeless. So what we did was we went into this with the Louisiana Housing Corporation and Office of Community Development with a complete wraparound transition center. We had medical, we had case management, we had mental health, we had professionals there, we had security. So we ran a complete center that was almost in effect like a hospital center that you would not normally see at a low-barrier shelter at one of the other nonprofit shelters. So we wanted to do this from a standpoint of showing as a state that you can, in a short-term aspect, use federal dollars to improve the safety of the homeless people. It does appear on the surface that when you look at it, $17 to $19 million does appear on the surface as an extensive amount of money, but these federal dollars are made specifically for these purposes and has to be spent in this fashion.
But okay, then again, we talk about federal spending and debt and deficit. I'm not trying to get you, that's not your wheelhouse. That's not what you're in. But somebody ultimately has to pay for this, right? I mean, that's the federal government that's spending the money?
Absolutely. And so our deal, at the largest amount, we had 183 people there. What has happened is 49 of those people have been transitioned and have keys or leases to an apartment with another 47 in the pipeline that we have taken now off of the streets in a homeless fashion, and they now have a lease for a new apartment or actually have keys. So over 90 people of that 183 have either already been placed in a permanent house or are in the process of doing so.
Let's talk about the future then. What happens from here on in? Because that was for Super Bowl Mardi Gras. Is this a new model going forward to deal with the homeless situation, A, in New Orleans, and B, could it be used statewide?
Well, what we're hoping for is we're hoping that this becomes a model on a nationwide aspect. So the contract for the center actually ends today. So yesterday, we knew that we were not just going to end in the Mardi Gras shelter or in the transition center after Mardi Gras. So on Monday of last week, we had 111 people in the shelter. And then on Monday, we had 78 yesterday. So we're going to extend the contract a week at a time, and we're going to divert the money from all of the wraparound services to case management to try to place these people in a proper home and give them a more permanent aspect. So from the standpoint It ends today, but we're going to extend it a week at a time. And by April 1st, we anticipate the shelter will be completely closed.
I think, you know, from the get-go, I thought this was a good idea, and it seemed like a good way to handle this. But the only question I had is that the cost of it and why it costs so much. And to go back to that, Colonel, a little bit, you said the federal government says the money has to be spent this way, or I'm confused with how you determined how.
Right. So this money that we have is federal dollars that come through the Louisiana Housing Corporation that are designed. You have certain amount of dollars are for case management. You have certain amount of dollars that are for wraparound type services. So we had an opportunity in going through this. It initially came out after the terrorist attack. Mm-hmm. We knew that we needed to make the ingress and egress safer, but we had an opportunity to prompt a dialogue that was more long-term on how to use federal money in a state application and show that you can do a transition center and show that you can transition people off of the streets into more permanent housing. So a lot of this, the money is restricted to be spent a certain way.
So unless my math is off, we'll take a break here, pick it up, we come back. It still seems to be $105,000 per person moving forward. Is that what it's going to cost to get a homeless person off the streets and into temporary housing? We'll talk about that, as well as I know FEMA wants to talk to you all about ways to make, I saw the story today, about ways to make the process more effective when FEMA gives the state money to hand out. And they've asked you to consult on that. 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. Six fifty-six, four till seven. Back with Colonel Jacques Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, talking about the transition center on Gentilly Road, I think it is. So, Colonel, somebody texted in about more homeless encampments popping up on Calliope near St. Charles by the Pontchartrain Expressway. I think that's what they're talking about near Calliope. Are there any plans for more sweeps? And if so, is there any way to get that price down from the $105,000 per person, unless my math is wrong, that it came out to be for the people, the money that was spent and the people that are in the facility?
Yes, there is a way to get the price down. It comes with, we ran basically a full service transition center. So if you reduce the wraparound services and you go with some of the local services that would apply for mental health counseling and for case management through some of those nonprofit agencies, you can get that price down. We just felt we had an opportunity to start a dialogue on the national level on how you can do this around events and then how it can turn into a long-term solution. So the thing that I will tell you, the most important piece is all disasters and all emergency events start at the local level, mm-hmm. and they end at the local level. So just as we started this today, the state's in it for the long haul with New Orleans. We'll partner with them, and we hope that this can start some dialogue and across the entire process.
So I see the story here at NOLA.com. Trump administration wants to overhaul FEMA. It's asking Louisiana for advice, and they've asked you to be a part of that, right? Tell me what it is that you would advise the Trump administration to do as it relates to FEMA, because when it comes to federal spending, Louisiana can't afford to take care of itself when it comes to some kind of disaster, can we?
No, what we will tell you is the GOSEP budget is about $3 billion with a B per year. $2.7 billion of that is FEMA money that routes through GOSEP. We're the agent for FEMA. So when you're talking about this, I think it comes down to FEMA getting back to the roots. The FEMA director used to answer directly to the president. Now it's embedded in the Department of Homeland Security, and that was a major mistake. I worked directly for the governor, and if I was embedded three or four levels down, there would be so much bureaucracy. I think FEMA's got to get back to their roots of doing long-term recovery and leave the prepare and respond to the states.
But fund it.
But fund it, right, yeah. Absolutely. The long-term recovery aspect is the funding piece. And that's what I think President Trump and the administration is trying to go to, is saying the states can do it, and we will fund it. And I think we've demonstrated that from the day of the terrorist attack all the way through Mardi Gras. It's about $45 million that the state has spent, and we did it. We did it without the federal government's help. And right now, there are.
But to be fair, you say without the federal government's help, it was the federal government's money, right?
Yes, it was. And I should say, that's kind of an incorrect statement. The federal government was here, but the federal government, we identified gaps in their ability to respond, to prepare and respond. So we stepped in as a state and as a Orleans Parish and as a city to basically take control of this. And now the federal government, we believe, has a responsibility to pay for that. We began the discussions with the federal government, and they look favorable that they will fund all actions from the terrorist attack through Mardi Gras.
Thank you, Colonel.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.